You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. Today's guest is Megan from Mission Garden.
My name is Megan Lopez. I'm from the Tana'atum Nation. I am Tana'atum, and I come from a village called Newfields. It's in the Chikukuk District, which borders the edge of the Tana'atum Nation and also borders with the international boundary with Mexico. I had this wonderful opportunity to learn off the nation and go to some colleges, and I've just been doing life, and now I work at the Mission Garden. I am a gardener and cultural outreach liaison, and we grow heritage crops. We grow trees that are also heritage and desert adapted, and it's an agriculture museum, and I started there as a volunteer, which quickly came into a lot of different roles that I do now.
Wow, that's amazing. So your time there, let me backtrack. So when was your first introduction to farming or agriculture or even gardening? Like, what is your first intro or memory that you have of that?
When I was like four, I used to be with my grandpa all the time, Albert Lopez, but my mom's dad, he had a garden anywhere he went, and in this particular house in Sells, he had gardens everywhere around the house, just anywhere he could put something he grew, and he tasked me with watching the water. He would tell me to watch the water hose, and when it fills up under a plant, then move it. And so I would stand there and watch the water. And this is during a time where I had a sense that later on I would learn that we've had many drought policies and things to keep people responsible for water use. But at the time, I was just told we can't turn the water on too high. We have to just keep it trickling. So if you imagine a trickling hose and a four-year-old standing there staring at it, like... And then I would pick it up and move it, and then I would observe the plants, look at them, notice, grasshoppers and different things that were around the Arikokor and the Hard and the Huñ and the Bach. And he had these roses that he babied, and he had a little wato for it. He had just these little pretty little things for it.
Wow,
yeah.
That's cool.
So beautiful, too. It was, when they are treated so kindly and beautiful, you see that expressed in the plants. And in remembering, he treated them very, very beautifully. He had hibiscus, too, and pomegranates, and... Then things, changed throughout time. I always think to when I was a teenager and I was just awful, I went away from that kind of thinking where life was simple. But I always remember his gardens and the drives to Newfields. We would go and visit a field out there, and he was always worried about it being watered enough or just checking on it, is what he said. We were just checking on things. But old white beat up Ford, no air conditioner, windows rolled down, hot, playing Kaaji fiddlers all the time.
Yes.
And then just these moments where he would check on me, because it's a long drive from Sells to Newfield, so he would check on me like, are you okay? He would kind of shock me, and I'd be looking like, he was just trying to get me to wake up or like be excited or something. So all of these memories culminated into not only my passion for this job and the things we do and the things that I get to experience, but just as a person, I learned a lot from him. Always have a sense of humor, because that's what he carried the majority of the time with, is his humor. And that's how he met new people, and how you can become a new friend with the sense of humor. So I learned a lot from
that's
him.
That's sweet. Love those kind of reminiscing stories about our grandparents, because it was such a different time back then.
Yes.
And life really was simple. And the way that they lived their lives was just really cool to you know, the traditional values that they had and what they wanted for us as well, and that you had that as a kid is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I grew up in a little mud house. I grew up right next door to them, just get up and walk over, and they always had something for me to do. Mm-hmm. So it became very taskful that way. Then later on, I grew up, you know, in elementary school on the res, Miss Ina's butt, Verna Ina's butt, Danny Lopez's butt, Ron Geronimo's still with us. You know, all these people are so, so important to my upbringing. And I didn't know it. Yeah. I didn't know it at the time, but us crossing paths in a way like that is really important. And when you grow up and you start thinking back to people that really brought good memories and teachings are going to keep coming back to you for that reason to keep you going. And I'm just so grateful that I was a part of that path with them in some way.
That's really cool to hear of what you didn't know back then, but who your mentors, you know. Thank you for sharing that. So what's your educational background?
I went to school and I got my family studies and human development degree at the U of A. But before that, I was interested in psychology. Like when you leave Babo, you know, they try to get you set up for something. So I initially started with psychology. Then I came back and started working for the tribe under the health department. I worked for HOP. I worked for behavioral health. And that's where I really learned about people connecting and experiences and life for people living on the Tanatum Nation and people living off the nation and how I fit into that and how I can be of service and be of support and how to look at things with good eyes, good intentions. And that taught me a lot by working in the people service field and being of service. It's life-changing and it's important. And then I just thought, well, how can I still help at that capacity, but something that I love doing and gardening. I actually started to just volunteer there because my sister needed volunteer hours when she was in high school.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first intro to the Mission Garden was my sister wanted to go there. So she got my dad, myself, and my son to go with her. And it was just us there. And Dina was the only staff member at the time, alongside another gentleman named Jose and Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And Dina Cowan, she walked us around. She was so happy that we were there. She was interested in, you know, what we knew and, you know, what we're interested in the garden to do. And just tasks like making sure that everything was clean, take the weeds out, let's plant something, let's put flowers in, let's put this in, let's put that in. And it was just the open skies and the changing seasons and everything in symphony with each other happening simultaneously as a season. Just being outside and witnessing the change in temperature and the skies and the clouds and everything was just beautiful. And it took me out of the headspace of like, oh, another U of A class, a final due, a project due. And it centered and grounded me in a way. And then I saw these other gardens there when she gave us a tour. And I'm like, this is the kind of garden my grandpa kept. And ever since then, I've seen things in the gardens, in the Mission Garden, that's reminiscent of my childhood. So it's like, yes, yes, this is it. This is this is where I can help.
Mm-hmm.
And then the food came. And then the nourishment came. And then even more rooting into this is the right thing to do and help people at the same time. So it all kind of fell into place.
That's amazing that it's something that connects you back to home and who you are, and it brings back memories of your grandfather. But it's also something now that you are still working with your people, still working with Otum in the communities, and pretty much as people from all walks of life, I'm sure. I feel like that Mission Garden has also been a space where folks from all walks of life have come to share their cultural foods and discussions. So that's amazing that you were able to find a place and a job that you really feel connected with.
Yes.
I think you might have touched on this already, but I'll ask anyway. Mm-hmm. As an Otum Adi, what do you remember about Otum Himutuk way of life that has kept you grounded as an adult today?
Oh, Mrs. Enos's class in kindergarten. I would not be here without that the guidance and the care of Miss Ines Butt, because she taught me how to spell my name. She taught me how to write my name, and I couldn't have gotten through life without that, you know? And then everything else followed. She celebrated every day in the class that we were awesome. Aww, I might get teary-eyed. Wow. But she sang, she got excited, she got her whole body into it. And that is pure joy. And to be happy to be there with us, because it's not easy working with kids, I can attest to that. And the joy of life, no matter what happens, she brought that.
Oh, Verna.
I know.
She's here with us.
Yeah, because I think she's proud of us.
Yeah.
She made us see our potential. And it's really about that, crossing paths and taking the right direction. And I think that's all our grandparents want for us. She was my kindergarten teacher, and she taught us so much just to be happy we're autumn. She would tell us that, you know, be proud to be autumn. And, you know, we're going to go outside and we're going to sing and we're going to play instruments. And if you want to bring your own instruments, this is a clear memory, because I remember talking to my parents, even in kindergarten. And she goes, we're going to play instruments. So if you have instruments, bring them. Or if you want to make your own instruments, bring them and we'll use them. So I went home and I told them what she said. And they just kind of looked at each other. And they're like, we don't have any kind of money for instruments like that. So my dad, I think it was, cleaned out a Kool-Aid can and made a drum out of the Kool-Aid can, decorated it, and aww, then I brought it in, and that was, we were tapping on the Kool-Aid can. It was one of those long ones. And that was creativity at its best and its purest, and we were having a good time. We were really excited to be there. You know, that was the essence of being a kid, an artie, and learning and being out in the world, in a sense, because you're under your parents' wing for a little while, or your family's wing, and then you go to preschool, and then you go to kindergarten, and then boom, you start to be a part of the grand scheme of school. And she was definitely the start to that grand scheme. And I'm so glad I had the opportunity to be in her class and learn autumn and to carry that as an adult.
Thank you so much for sharing about her and talking about her, because it's been some time since she's passed, and it's good that the impressions that she had on people and that you have that kind of memory.
Yeah.
That's so awesome and amazing. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
So in your position now at Mission Garden, what are you working on?
Wow, we got a lot of programs that we're kicking off or that we're keeping steady. Our program called Tasting History, and it really speaks to the educational value and the history value and the tasting that is so unique. All of it is the strength of the community, because all of these crops are either heritage or desert adapted. They've been here for hundreds of years or thousands of years. And we get this grand opportunity to have people from all over the world or locally who have never tried these things or love these things and have their own way of cooking are just interested in what we're doing. And so Tasting History is really an embodiment of why Mission Garden is there, as well as Totona Autumn Ag Day or Agriculture Day that happens every third Saturday. As farmers and gardeners and people who like to do this kind of work, you're always at the whims of the seasons. You're always at always looking for these things. You're an observer for the rest of your life of what's happening and how will it be for the season, and just kind of keeping things, I guess, on an observation scale to see if your plants are capable or if you're going to need more help, or the essence of autumn agriculture and the planting and the soil and everything that we're learning or understanding or just experimenting. You know, it's quite beautiful, but we also talk about the history there. You know, we are gifted with an early agriculture garden at the Mission Garden, and we have seeds there growing in there that are close to the original wild tepary, wild bao, wild corn. The mama of all corn is Teosinte, And so the grandchildren and all the varieties of corn that are to follow mm-hmm. into the present day started with this one little seed, one little grass. And just through human interaction, selection, we're able to grow these varieties of corn, these cultivated crops that they look so beautiful. I mean, they're so beautiful and intricate corn cobs that are purple and white and red and, you know, yes. and almost crystally colored. And chapalote is one of those corn that is old and ancient, but it's beautiful. And people don't know that. People mm-hmm. are relearning all of this. We have 60-day corn and wild tobacco, wild chili, wild gourds, wild kushaw squash. Just the essence of the desert is there. And we go by the season, so we get to talk about the autumn calendar mm-hmm. and share that with the visitors and people that are interested in autumn agriculture. But we're also, you know, working with kids and getting them to recognize, you know, what the seeds are and when to plant and how deep to put them in. And, you know, just finding a passion through the youth. That's one of the other big missions we have in the Autumn Ag Day programming. Archaeology, which is something else Mission Garden does, has a platform of talking about archaeology in a sense of education and knowing that we are on a site where archaeology was done and that it no longer is being done, and why it should be respected in the perspective of the autumn, because these are our ancestors' remains, are the ancestors' belongings that are still in the dirt. It's about 6 feet down, I believe. So we're not allowed to dig a certain depth. So we build up. We yeah. add the soils and wow. we add amendments so that mm-hmm. we don't go deep, we go up. And it really helps. It makes a world of difference to mm-hmm. know your soils and to know your mulch. And mm-hmm. yes. it's endearing, I should say, to mm-hmm. to educate people on why the thaw and the autumn respect the land and why it needs to be taken care of and why you should leave artifacts alone mm-hmm. or why you should leave your earth alone, because it's housing and holding on to stories of people that aren't here anymore, but we're still here. The descendants of mm-hmm. the Holukum yes. are still here, and it's something people are still learning. I have come to understand. Therein lies the work. It just means we are bridges to the gaps in our own history, our own histories, our own path that we walk is ours to keep and ours to talk about. And I'm grateful that I have a voice to speak, because what I've learned also is that we're voicing for the plants themselves. It's incredibly important to me, and it weighs on me to think if they're demolishing all of the Hahashan or if they're taking out certain native plants because a median needs to go there or a parking lot needs to go there, you know, then we should be advocating for our native relatives, our native plant relatives. These plants have lived a really long time.
Yes. That's so cool to hear, and that you have the opportunity to learn about those types of plants that maybe you've always known or heard, and also learning from other cultures, other folks from different backgrounds, and how they use it and the importance it has been for them, and that you have that kind of mentorship from other folks and actually get to get hands-on with it and gain some knowledge and experience and have opportunities to talk about it just like now.
Yes, yes. I learned how to, like, how to be excited about it and then kind of, like, also be an observer. Again, Mission Garden does that. It has this ability to bring people together from all walks of life, whether they've been to Mission Garden once or they had never been there before in their lives but read something somewhere and just wanted to see. We get all kinds of people with all kinds of experiences, and it's just so nice because you ask a question and you might get the answer you're looking for, but you might get something totally off track, but you learned something and you walk away with something. And I think that's the essence of coming together like that and being together and sharing with one another is, one, it's food, and two, it's knowledge and it's community.
That is beautiful. Wow. Amazing information and, you know, cultural exchange and experiences that you're sharing. So for anyone who is maybe thought about it or interested in starting to plant something or even have a little garden for themselves, any tips for anyone interested in starting a garden this spring?
I was thinking about this question and I wanted to say, come and see us at the Mission Garden. And I also wanted to say, go see Sign of Your Co-op too, and go see, you know, your local native plant growers, visit your neighbors who have gardens in their yards. You know, that connection, that community collaboration, that communication is so, so important and beautiful when you want to start a garden. And the other thing I would suggest is, because we live in a desert, I would start learning about where your water goes when it rains. It's really good to see where the puddles collect. And then prepare for it to go to where you want it to go. Like if you want, you know, put it where the water source is. One, put it where the water source is. And if you got something that you want to grow, but you don't know if it will, the soil will support the life in it, is just think or look at it and say, is anything growing at all? Is it supporting any life, even if it's a weed? Because that is a good sign, is if anything can grow there, you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's just some one thing that Jesus told me when we first started working together is, you know, you're going to kill a lot of plants. And that is a lesson. Mm-hmm. And you have to, in order to get past it and keep going, because it's going to happen. And you have to be okay with that, your successes and your failures. And yes, that it really resonated with life in general, and then gardening, because I know a lot of people just don't want to try because they can't deal with losing a plant and killing it, and they're like, I'm not good at it. Or, you know, I have that in my own family. People say, I'm not good at growing anything, I just kill it. Well, yeah, but, you know, you got to try again, you know. We don't have all these seeds just because one person, or maybe we did. But, you know, we have so much seeds to work with. That's why the plants give us so much, is because we got to try and keep trying. And one of them's got to take. And that's what it is to be a gardener. So, you know, watch where your water goes. See if your soil is okay to house anything, any life. And if it's not, you know, research what you need. And then asking gardeners that you know, or if you don't know any gardeners, come and see us at the Mission Garden. There's tons of happy gardeners, enthusiastic people, people that just get to the answer and, you know, let you on your way. And then some people that want to know all the details about, okay, what are you going to plant, and what, you know, what part of the house are you on, and what part do you want it on? And it's like all these different things that really do matter. And that should be encouraged. And, you know, community gardens, they're everywhere. And if you can't find one, come and see us, you know, or come go and see Sign of Your Co-op. And they have volunteer opportunities. Be friends with an indigenous gardener, you know.
Yes, that right there. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, you know, as we wrap up the interview, do you have any last thoughts, comments, or shout outs that you want to share?
I have tons of shout outs.
Take it away.
I just want to share also that I'm so happy that I had this chance to meet you, and that I got to know a little bit more about the success of the radio station, the podcasting, and that the Thonathem community, the generation that we're in currently, I'm talking about mine and yours, we're doing great, you know, with all the things. We're beating the odds with all the things that have come our way, and the way that, you know, life is going, or the world is going, you know, we're beating the odds, and that's fantastic. So I'm really happy to see you and to know that you're doing wonderful. And, you know, I also want to thank the Thonathem Nation communities, Santa Fe District, the co-op, cultural resources, Himdaki, Thonathem Community College, the Healthy Autumn Promotion Program, Ajo CSA, Giselle Ramon Sabaran, Pascoyaki Nation, Amelia Garcia, who's a basket weaver and a friend of the garden. She's such a wonderful visitor and a friend, and she's a basket weaver who still keeps the tradition going and is a teacher. So thank you so much for coming and staying with us. And Rick Manuel, the band, man, he's been bringing the band and playing music for us, and that's exactly what the garden needs. And he's also an artist. He's somebody who makes metal jewelry, UOMA Culture Center and Museum, the Yaqui Senior Center, the Boys and Girls Club of the Yaqui Nation, Angela Montiel, Tucson Chinese Culture Center, Faye and Nancy Tom, Susie Wong, Jackson Van Cleesen, the African American Museum of Southwest Arizona, the Dunbar Community, Beverly Randigia, Floyd Gray, Dr. Michael Ings and Cindy Ings, Stephanie Daniels, Kim Steverson, and the Oro House, as well as the Ishkashita Refugee Network, Josefina Zarga, Jesus Garcia and Dina Cowan, the whole Mission Garden Board, and countless volunteers who come once in their life or come all the time and are ongoing supporters of the Mission Garden. Shout out to you all. Thank you so much for your support and your love.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Megan, for taking the time to come here and to be with us here at KXEI.
Thank you so much for having me, man. This is awesome.
You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices, featuring Megan Lopez from Mission Garden, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. To hear more episodes, go to kxei.org.